Coming to you once again from the Golden One Center. Happy, happy, happy Monday. Yeah, the 49ers back in the winner's circle. Kings back at the Golden One tonight. Question is, Kyle Draper, will De'Aaron Fox be back in the Kings lineup tonight? A lot of excitement, anticipation around here. What can you tell us? What do you know?
I know he practiced fully yesterday, took full part in shoot-around today, and if I was a guy that would make prognostications, I would say he's playing tonight.
All right.
But don't hold me to that, Whitey. Don't be like, Drapes, I thought you said. I'm just going with what I know in my opinion. I think he'll give it a go tonight.
Okay. We know you are not shy. You make it sound like I don't really do that sort of thing. We know you're not shy about making prognostications.
Exactly.
So I understand a lot of variables here, but it does feel like this is a De'Aaron Fox night.
Yeah, and I said the other day, I was talking with some guys, this was Saturday, they're like, oh, what's going on with De'Aaron Fox? And, based on everything I've seen and the way he's progressing and seeing him pregame warm up, now he's practiced, now he's taking part in a shoot-around, I said, Monday is more likely, the most likely scenario. I would think you bring him back here at home tonight, then you got him out, obviously, Wednesday on the road against the Lakers. You begin that long road trip. But, remember, De'Aaron said it was only going to be a few games a week. And here we are, two plus weeks now. And so I think tonight is the night for De'Aaron Fox.
I also think it's possible that nobody knows for sure. He goes out there, he warms up. You never know if something doesn't quite feel right. Unlikely.
Right, exactly.
But it's possible that the plan now could be for him to play. Then something could develop where he'd say, you know what, I don't think I can go. Unlikely. But let's say he does play tonight. To me, Kyle, if the Kings end up during the stretch without Fox going 2-3, and considering that two of those losses in Houston, they don't look quite as grisly as they did at the time, given the way the Rockets are playing. I would think 2-3, I mean, obviously you don't like a losing record, but I don't think that's terrible.
Not at all. And if we were to start the season and said, you know what, this Sacramento Kings team would be 4-4. De'Aaron Fox would miss 5 games.
Take it.
We take that, right? So why? You know what? It's crazy how the NBA works. This time last week, Whitey, they had just come off the Saturday loss to Houston. It was must win. You got to come out fired up. You got to come up ready. And then they get curb stomped, and we're like, uh-oh. We start looking at the trade deadline.
I know I did. Yeah.
Rotations, everything. And now, you know what? Coming off that huge win against OKC, all is right with the Sacramento Kings.
Hey, Keegan Murray made a few jump shots, huh?
Right?
That dunk.
A dunk, right? The dunk heard round the world. And it wasn't even just the dunk, Whitey. It was the little jab step, a little and then to get to the basket and throw it down as well. The whole totality of that. And then the opponent, Oklahoma City, who we've talked about, is going to be right there with Sacramento trying to battle for seeding. That was a huge win, their best win of the season Friday night.
Well, yeah, because it was their first tournament game.
I'll tell you what, and don't look away from me. In-season tournament has been a success. It has been a success. The vibe in this building, the court, the energy. You know what? I'm actually a fan of the in-season tournament. I don't know if there was some extra juice in the game Friday night that maybe wouldn't have been there. But you can't tell me. You were in the building. Mm-hmm. You can't tell me that didn't feel electric Friday night.
It did. It might have anyway. You're right.
Right.
Mike Brown after the game was asked about it, and he said, it's funny because everybody that's asked about it officially on the podium, they mentioned, I think what the NBA is doing is great. They know what they're supposed to say.
Right.
And it was. There was nothing. It was a lot of fun. But he said once you get going, you just kind of forget, whether he said even in a finals game, which is, I don't know about that. But it was interesting because after the game, as you well know, Kevin Huerter said he had the ball at the end of the game.
Yes.
And Sabonis wanted him to shoot it again because point differential or total points actually is
a tiebreaker
in the tournament. So they're like, mad at Huerter. You got to shoot that. This is a tournament game.
Yeah, and Katie was pointing that out during the broadcast at the end. She's like, you don't want to turn over here. You want to try and score and get a bucket because, like you said, points factors into the tiebreaker. And so these guys were very well aware. And for Oklahoma City, they had lost their in-season tournament opener, so now they're 0-2 in group play, and likely they're eliminated from moving on, probably.
Maybe so.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I thought, we talked about this Friday, and I know we have Drape's takes coming up, looking forward to them, and I don't want to steal any of your Thunder, your OKC Thunder, but I think what they held Shea to like 33, and I think you could reasonably say, yeah, we're okay with that.
Yeah, yeah, and I thought, I don't want to give away too much of Drape's takes, obviously, but I thought the start to that game, Shea was minimized early on in that game, and I think that sort of set the tone. He got going a little bit late second quarter in the second half, but, you know, Shea got minimized, and I thought the Kings did a great job defensively on him. I'll talk more about that come Drape's takes, but one thing I saw the other night with this Kings team, it seemed like everybody who played contributed in some way, somehow, sort of like that Portland game, and that's what you want to see, especially when your team's shorthanded.
I also wanted you to know, because I know you pointed out Friday correctly, that if the 49ers lost, they would be 5-4. And I just want you to know they did not lose.
Let me check my box.
Yeah, they won the game in convincing fashion, so rather than be an average 5-4 team, just so you know. And you know, you're busy with all your basketball stuff. I don't know how closely you can follow the 49ers. They won yesterday a big time, so they're 6-3. So they're
I don't want to talk about the 49ers. I mean, they beat a woefully bad Jacksonville Jaguars team. You know,
they're coming off a bye. That's one of the hottest teams in the National Football League.
I'm surprised I haven't heard Bang Bang Niner Gang yet. Remember I said,
yeah, I know.
You know, who's on the controls back there? But
it's early.
That was their best win of the season. Forget Dallas. To go on the road to Jacksonville. Whoa.
Hello.
You hear how loud that was? Uh-oh. They're fixing the floor out here, I think that was. But to go on the road to Jacksonville and make Trevor Lawrence look like it was like his first NFL game. And you're right. They had won, what, 5 in a row, I think Jacksonville had at some point. And so that was the Niners' best win. And I don't know if it's the Chase Young effect, Steve Wilks being down on the field, or what. But that defense finally looked like the Niners defense we thought we had.
That whole coach on the field thing backfired when all the coaches ran out onto the field and nullified a 95-yard touchdown.
Right.
But Kyle Shanahan was one of them. So I don't know if that made any difference. But, the pass rush, they were getting to the quarterback.
Yeah.
It just seemed like after that, maybe an oversimplification, but it seemed like everything else kind of fell into place after that.
It really did, and you know, Trent Williams being back, Debo contributing. This was a complete game for the Niners, and I'm sure it sort of restored faith in the Niners and what they can accomplish this season.
Do you have faith in the Niners? Is your faith in the Niners renewed?
No, it's never wavered. They're you know, at best the second or third best team in the NFC, and that's never changed, in my opinion. The Eagles are still the class of the NFC.
Uh-huh.
I think, you know, Detroit's in that mix. The Niners are in that mix. Dallas is in that mix. And so, you know, this next three-game stretch, Whitey, if you remember, when we first started working together, October 4th was our first day on the air.
Yes.
I said, talk to me with this next three stretch.
Yes.
At Seattle, at Philly, home against Seattle.
And you mentioned also that Jacksonville game as a tough game.
I said that.
And the Cincinnati game. Well, you're right about Cincinnati game. But you're right. I mean, that's right. It just, it's not that you were wrong. It's that the 49ers actually showed up yesterday.
Yeah, they were amazing right from the jump. And it's no coincidence the ground game got going again. You get Trent Williams back, the ground game gets going.
Did you see the play where Trent Williams is leading? You know, that's the beauty of the zone blocking scheme.
I know where
you're going with this. Where the blockers are basically seek and destroy. So they don't necessarily, you block him, you block him.
Yeah.
No, you go into space, someone's in your area, boom.
Plop.
And number 31 of the Jag, just like, I don't want anyone.
He started running the other way, right? I would do it too if I saw big Trent Williams coming my way. But you know what? Great win. We talked about it with Emil last week.
Uh-huh.
This was a must win for the Niners. Sure, plenty of season left. But in terms of psychology, coming off the bye week, trying to make a statement, they checked all the boxes yesterday against Jacksonville.
Yeah, and Brock Purdy had one of his best games, although, and we'll talk about it, his first touchdown throw is,
what was that?
Kyle Shanahan said, that's one of the worst decisions he's made since he's been here.
Dude, it was in double coverage. But he got away with it.
Right.
And, you know. Touchdown, right?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you know, he got the score. I thought Brandon Ayuk was fantastic. I don't know if we could point to anybody on that roster and say, you know what? I don't know. They had a bad game. Like, they were struggling. Like, everybody was on point. George Kittle with the big 66-yard touchdown. Brock Purdy was on point. Jake Moody made some kicks, you know. And so
slipped one in the right edge.
But, hey, okay. And so, no, all around great weekend if you're a Niners and Kings fan.
Yeah, it looked like Jacksonville expected something. And from the first play from scrimmage, the 49ers line up with five down linemen. And it looked like they didn't expect that.
Right, yeah.
And then the Niners were playing press coverage, man-to-man. They didn't expect that. And they just didn't have an answer for it all day long. I was like, well, we didn't know they were going to do that. And they didn't have an answer.
Well, and that comes down to coaching. You got to adjust, right?
Yeah.
Obviously. But, you know, give the Niners credit. You know, their secondary, we had talked about, much maligned. Man, they need to go out. They played extremely well yesterday.
They made some adjustments there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, they made some adjustments there, too. And so I thought it was a banner day for the Niners. And as you know, week to week, any given Sunday, remember? That's the movie, right?
Yep.
Things can happen. And so I just urge and caution Niners fans. It was one game. Don't start booking tickets to Vegas for the Super Bowl or anything like that. It was just one game. Talk to me in a few weeks.
And who is the central figure in the movie? Any given Sunday? Wasn't it Willie Beeman?
Yeah.
We hopefully will be Beeman tonight.
We'll
be right back with Drapes Takes from the Golden One Center Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.
Drive Guys powering your afternoons Monday through Friday on Sacktown Sports.
Absolutely. Pardon me, Mr. Nelson, guys. The Drive Guys. Kyle Draper, Weddy Gleason. And we are still basking in the afterglow. Not only the 49er win, but that Kings win from Friday night. Kings, of course, taking on Cleveland tonight, trying to keep that winning streak going. That brings us to a special 2 days later, but worth the wait edition of Drapes Takes.
Let's see if they got my audio. Do we have my audio for Drapes Takes? I can't do it without my audio. Kyle's back there like, Simone, where's my audio? Where's Kyle's audio? It's coming up here. Let me start it anyway. Drapes Takes starts with the defensive effort we saw from the Sacramento Kings the other night against OKC. Hold on, Whitey. Now I'm ready. Let's go. Drapes Takes off and running. I thought my guy, Keon Ellis.
Yes.
My guy,
no.
Keon
no.
Ellis. Was tremendous. Forget about the points. How about 30 minutes he played the other night against Oklahoma City, and it was his defense against Shai Gilgeous-Alexander that really set the tone for the Sacramento Kings. Shai Gilgeous, sure he had 33 points. Sure he was amazing. But in that first quarter, he was 3 of 9. In that first half, Whitey, because of the defense, he was 5 of 12. He only had 12 points in the first half. This is a guy that came into the game averaging 28 points, averaged better than 30.
Good player.
I thought Mike Brown's decision to not only start Keon Ellis, but actually keep Keon Ellis on the floor 30 minutes, I thought was a huge part of why they were able to get the win the other night.
How about the putback by Keon Ellis, too? A huge putback at the time.
Yes, a huge putback. And so for him to give you something offensively, too,
he'll
take that.
Someone on the station was saying last week this kid needs to play a little bit more. I forgot who it was. But here he is. And the question is, will he start tonight?
Right, that's the thing, right? That's the million-dollar question. And not only will he start tonight, that's the question. But when De'Aaron does come back, does he have minutes? Does he actually play?
Bigger,
you know? And so is he the first guard off the bench at point instead of Davion Mitchell? That's a million-dollar question. So that's first Drapes Take. Second Drapes Take, I'm going to lump these guys together because we have been talking about Keegan Murray and Kevin Huerter all season long. Needless to say, I think they're out of their slump. Kevin Huerter, 28 big points.
Kevin Herter, four threes. He was 40% from triple. What I saw Friday night was much more like it for the Sacramento Kings. Sure, nobody else was able to hit any threes, 13 to 47 combined. But to me, Kevin Herter and Keegan Murray, they're sort of the litmus test for this team. If those guys are contributing, and they did in a big fashion, 52 combined points, the Kings will win basketball games. It was great to see both of those guys be aggressive and break out of slumps.
Assuming you're right, and I think you are on Kevin Herter, we'll see, but I really have to give credit to the coaching staff and Mike Brown, the way they've handled this, because obviously, you know, they sat him down one of the preseason games, and he hasn't played well, and it's been an awkward situation, and we've overreacted to it, or at least I have.
Right.
But here we are. It looks like they came through it. They're in a good place, and they were able to massage him along and keep him on track, get him back to the point where he's the player they need him to be.
Yeah, exactly, 100%. And Keegan Murray's shimmy dunk, he did the jab step and blew to the basket and threw it down. That shows me, you know what, it's not always about the three-point shooting with him. There are other ways in which you can contribute. And when you look at the box score, 11 rebounds, four offensive rebounds for young Keegan Murray, three steals. And so we're so infatuated with points and shooting, and I get it, that's what he does. But kudos to that young man finding other ways to contribute, Whitey. Mm-hmm.
And just as unflappable, whether he was 0-for-7 or whether he was making huge shots.
Yes.
And after the game, it's cool to hear him talking about how everybody stayed together through these difficult times. Huge game for Keegan Murray. Another guy that, let's face it, we all know this, the Kings need him to be exceptional, to have any chance to do anything.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, give love to Domantas Sabonis. He's not part of Drape Stakes because he did what he always does. 17 points, 13 assists, 13 rebounds, a triple-double for Domantas Sabonis. But he's not part of Drape Stakes. I'm actually going to go outside of Sacramento for this final Drapes take, Whitey. I'm going to go down to H-Town, where my boy Bun B and Travis Scott are hanging. The Houston Rockets. The Houston Rockets. They are for real, meaning that they're going to battle for a play-in spot. You know, we thought that, you know, Houston and Portland might be the two teams on the outside looking in. Houston's going to be there. Did you see they beat the Denver Nuggets?
No Jamal Murray.
No, yes, hey, it doesn't matter.
They beat the Kings, no De'Aaron
Fox. They beat the Kings, no De'Aaron. They beat the Lakers, though.
They did. They
were healthy.
They've won six in a row?
Six in a row.
Yeah,
and so
that's legit.
Those two losses in Houston, they don't look as bad. Let's give some respect to Ime Udoka and the Rockets and what they're doing. They are legit. They're a possible playoff team if they keep, you know, the way they play and the style they play, they're a possible playoff team.
Yeah, so again, at the risk of overstating the obvious, the fact that the Kings felt so badly about playing the way they did against Houston, maybe, you know, Houston's just a lot better than we thought they were at the time.
Yeah, they were, and, you know, all of those games were at home. They've been on a nice home stretch. They go to the Clippers, Lakers, and Golden State after that. But you know what? For a team that was so woefully bad last year, you got to bring your hard hats and your lunch pail when you take on this team. And let me give you a quick bonus Drapes take.
Bonus Drapes take.
Golden State Warriors. Your boy Draymond, man. I don't know
whoa. Whose boy Draymond?
Oh, Allen Styles' boy Draymond Green. I don't know what's happening there with Steve Kerr and Golden State and Wiggins and those guys, but they are reeling right now. They've lost three in a row. And Whitey, I said it last week or 2 weeks ago, Steph Curry has to be superhuman for Golden State to win. And that it wasn't drawn up like that. Where's Wiggins been? Where's Klay Thompson been? Draymond Green is already up to his old antics, like of you know, he's frustrated out there. And so he's getting kicked out, drawing technicals. The Warriors are in trouble.
Yeah, they are. And you know, the only guy besides Steph who scored as many as 20 in a game for the Warriors so far this year, I believe it's Dario Saric, and he's done it once. So they are really struggling to find offensive support for number 30.
Yeah, and so Sacramento, we're all good. Warriors are reeling right now. My boy Herter's balling. Keegan's balling. What a difference a week makes in the NBA. That's Drape Stakes. That's all I got, baby. That's all I got.
Do you think one of the reasons Sabonis plays so well against the Thunder, he plays well against a lot of teams. He's a really good player. But you think maybe he's got a little bit of that, hey, that's the team that traded me. Because he really plays well against
them. He always seems to go well. Always seems to play well against them. And he dominated that matchup with Chet Holmgren. You know, Chet's a great player, solid player. But Domas, man. Mm-hmm. And so for the
second.
It was
like a man against the bull.
Yeah. And let's give Domas some credit. I know I touched on it briefly in Drape's takes, but his last two games, that's what we need to see from him, right?
Like,
even when Garrett's back, I want to see that kind of Domantas Sabonis. Be the best player on the floor because you can be. And I thought, you know, he was a big part. He set the tone these last two games.
I'm going to make a point here, and at first you're going to think I'm just being silly.
Here we go.
No, I think this is I think this is what's going on with this team. But bear with me because I'm going to take a little bit of a detour to get there. What's the scary movie you saw that was the scariest
Extra.
Movie?
Extra.
Yeah. Have you ever seen a werewolf movie where.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And you know how sometimes the guy, whoever it is, like he's fun and then the moon comes up and then.
Right. Yeah.
And he goes through another.
I love those movies.
Yeah. And the transformation is very painful. Yeah. Sometimes, the jaws just stand up. That's what's going on. Yeah, you know the one.
The YouTubers can see this guy. The sound effects
right.
don't even match the
and then
like, do the actual facial expressions justice. But go ahead.
The next thing you know, it's like, then they become this predator. That's what Mike Brown is doing with the Kings. He's trying to get them from like a, yes, we score a lot of points. We're a
right.
wonderful team. To that dog of a team, that wolf of a team. And the transformation, we've seen it here.
Okay.
It's been a little. Little painful, but if you
but
check,
once you break out of it, like
yes,
once you yeah,
you check the defensive ratings today. The Kings are 14th in the NBA.
They moved up that much in
That's,
the last like
I saw
two
my, yeah,
games?
I couldn't believe it.
Wow,
I looked today, Basketball Reference, like what? So you know, we've seen the last few games. It can go up and down, very volatile
yeah.
here. But how about that? What Mike Brown's trying to do with his team so far, it's working. Those last two games. They are pretty ugly wins, but they
yes.
were wins.
They were wins. No, you're right about that. And sure, everything didn't go according to plan. It wasn't, you know, pretty or aesthetically pleasing. But we've talked about it before, Whitey. This Kings team has to learn to win ugly sometimes.
Yeah.
You got to learn to win. Oh, my gosh. Please don't do that face again. Please don't. You got to learn to win when the threes aren't falling. And that's what we saw the other night against a very good Oklahoma City team.
Yes. Yes. They've become a very effective
one more time.
Defensive
one more
team. You just said you didn't want
to
do it.
Just one more time. People on YouTube.
That's the best part of those movies. American Werewolf in London.
Yes.
Great
yes.
Scene. Yeah.
Yes.
Get a neck, Jack.
You don't
anyway.
Get those anymore. Man,
nah.
those movies.
Anyway, that's what I think the Kings are going through. And we'll see if they can continue. You know, it's easy to say, oh, they had two games. They're back. You know, oh, they're a good defensive
right.
team. We'll see. By the way, I asked Mike Brown after the last game about that, what they learned in Houston, how those lessons have been applied to the two wins here. And he said something interesting. He said, you know, I love that I could look a guy in the eye square and tell him what was going on. You know, we were talking, you and I, Friday about JaVale McGee. Like, what happened to JaVale McGee? Mike Brown said, JaVale McGee didn't play badly in Houston.
Right. That's what
he said. But I like the way they played with Alex Len in there. And so I had to tell JaVale, hey, you're sitting for a while. You know,
and JaVale's a pro.
Hey, yeah,
he sat all last year in Dallas.
Yeah,
but I think this, like Mike Brown said, this talk speaks more to what Alex Len is doing and what he's giving
right.
his team than
right.
with JaVale. It's not a knock on JaVale,
mm-hmm.
Alex Len, and what they're doing out there with him right now. It just fits better.
Yeah, and then as we saw with Sasha, JaVale McGee's going to get his chance. He doesn't
right.
know when, but
right.
he's going to get a chance. It's on him to be ready.
Right, and real quickly on that note, Mike Brown's and JaVale McGee's relationship. I think is so strong. You know, obviously they go back years. And Mike Brown's the type, he'll tell you, too, you know, I'm not going to go with you tonight. And so I think that trust they have between those two will make it A-OK.
When we come right back, the dominant 49ers, let's call them the Domininers, they are back. More on that when we come back to the Golden One Center. It's a drive, guys. Kyle Draper, Werewolf Gleason on Sacktown Sports.
Check out.
Looks like we have the regular, what would we call this, the standard court in place tonight,
yes.
the Golden One Center.
Yes.
With the purple foul lines with the kind of a black shading here. That's a cool thing, the way the purple and the black kind of blend here,
yeah.
the baseline. So Kings tonight, I think, wearing white uniforms, Kyle, against the
Are they?
Yeah.
You got the intel on that one?
Yeah, I saw that on the internet. I forget. Well, I apologize. You know, all the jerseys have names. Some people, you say the name of the jersey, people know.
Can't say home whites anymore, that's for sure, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to try. I'm wearing the home whites tonight. And did you notice on the way in, I believe I saw some holiday decorations here outside the building that were not there Friday.
Oh, what they got? Thanksgiving decoration?
Well, it's like a little, like a, it's like a, some sort of.
Or is it Christmas?
Christmas type.
What happened? Where's the, no love for Thanksgiving. How about some turkeys out there or some leaves? You know, like
that's
some
the problem with
foliage
Thanksgiving.
Out there.
There's it's no like, good. What are you going to have? A pilgrim's hat? I mean, just there
no
are
Thanksgiving
no good
music. What's Thanksgiving music?
There's not. Yeah.
Poor Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving is a Christmas pregame.
I could argue Thanksgiving is a better holiday than Christmas.
Well,
I can make that
argument.
All
the things you just raised kind of fly in the face.
I know.
Of that. No music, no decorations. No songs.
Got the food, though.
Oh, yeah.
And then Christmas is like, oh, that's a good idea. Maybe we should do that also. So Christmas stole Thanksgiving's meals. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so,
Thanksgiving's just a pregame show. But anyway, I think they got some decorations up here.
Okay.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Before we go any further, let's talk to Doug on Sacktown Sports. Hello, Doug. What's on your mind?
Hello.
Hello, Doug.
Let's do it, Doug.
Yeah. What's up?
Doug, you're killing me. We got to cut Doug.
I apologize. Yeah.
We cut him, though. Doug, you can call back, and you got to be on point. We're not starting the show off like that, Whitey. Uh-uh.
I don't think Doug realized that he was on the air or there was a technical issue or maybe it was me. I don't know, but thank you, Doug.
He's going to follow us now.
Yeah. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140 if you want to weigh in. Real quick, as far as the 49ers go, because that was a – let's face it. You know, a lot of us are saying, yeah, no doubt. We knew they'd be back, but woo! It's nice to see the 49ers playing 49er football again.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when you look at it, you know, a lot of people expected the Niners to win, but I don't know anyone who expected that kind of beatdown. That looked like the Niners team we saw the first 5 weeks of the season, right? And we wonder what happened these last 3 weeks. Brock Purdy was on point, a near-perfect quarterback rating. I think it was at like 149.5 or something like that. And they dominated on both sides of the ball. You know, we talked about the line of scrimmage. For the first time, since their last win, they dominated the line of scrimmage. They got after Trevor Lawrence. They created holes for Christian McCaffrey. Deebo Samuel even contributed to the ground game as well. And so they look like the complete team we thought they were. And, you know, the bye week couldn't come soon enough. You make some adjustments. You make some trades. You bring Steve down. And all is right in Niners land right now.
Do you really think that made much of a difference? I mean, I don't know.
I don't know.
We joked about it last week.
But, you know, listening to the players after the game, they talked about the communication. And it's just easier to communicate when you're right there down on the field with the players. And if you have an issue with something, you can address them right there on the field. And so I don't want to say, you know, Steve Wilkes going down made a huge difference.
It solved everything.
But, you know. Getting Chase Young. It all came together. But I will say this, though, Whitey. What we saw from that Niners defensive front, they looked hungry. They looked like their ears were pinned back, like they wanted to make a statement. Where was that the first eight games of the season? And so that's how they sort of have to play. Sort of like, you know, the Sacramento Kings. Where was that in Houston? What we saw the last 2 days. Where was that in Houston? Now you know. You have the blueprint on how to do that. And so if I'm that Niners defensive line, you got to do it this week against Seattle, too.
I was talking just out there Friday at the elevators to Chris Biederman, who is here. Chris Biederman, who comes on with Alan and Chris once a week, and he's one of the hosts of the Candlestick Chronicles podcast.
Yeah.
And I asked him, hey, is this the week the Niners are back? He said, you know, again, this was just Friday night. He said, you know, Trevor Lawrence is exactly the type of quarterback that has been giving the 49ers a lot of problems lately. And that's true, but I think the difference was he just was hanging on to the ball a beat longer, and that's all the front needed to get to him. And I think it had to do with the press coverage, and the 49ers were defending better the secondary so that the quarterback didn't have the luxury of getting it out and just having
right.
people running wide open all over the middle of the field. So it was a, you know, combination of things.
Yeah, it's sort of like the what came first, the chicken or the egg. You know, if the defensive line gets to the quarterback, that makes the secondary jobs easier. Well, if the secondary, if you hold on to your man, you play that press coverage, you give the defensive line just that extra half a second to get to the quarterback, and then you can wreak some havoc. And I think that's what we saw this past week with the Niners. And so kudos to them, man. It all came together. I thought Fred Warner was fantastic. You know, we talked earlier about who's the leader on this team. And I think, you know, as much as we talk about Bosa, Fred Warner is that dude defensively. I think, you know, just the plays he makes, he brings it night in and night out. And you never wonder, man, where's Fred at? You know,
right,
always has some sort of impact on the game.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And because he's also he's doing so many different things, and he's more outspoken, more of a leader in that regard. I think Brock Purdy had one of his better games, obviously, and that was a great throw. The throw to Kittle was a great throw.
Right.
But I was going to just touch real quickly on Christian McCaffrey. He doesn't score. I know some people bemoan that. Oh, he could have broken the record. To me, and maybe this is just me, I think it's great, very poignant, when a modern guy like McCaffrey ties the record of one of the guys who played, especially an African-American who played in the 60s, because people don't remember those guys. And now they share that record. And I know before it was Lenny Moore, but nobody knew about it. And now more attention was drawn to that. And those guys deserve so much more recognition. So I'm glad it's a tie between those two.
Are you really?
McCaffrey and Lenny Moore, because then people have to go, Lenny Moore, who's that? Then you find out about him and all those players.
So in the record books,
the
next time somebody else is going to be Christian McCaffrey and Lenny Moore.
Yes.
Like, those guys will. I that's a good point, and I hear you on that. And, you know, I'm shocked out of all the points being scored, CMC, you know, that usually is the one constant. But, no, you're right, man, to be mentioned in the same category as Lenny Moore.
Those guys are forgotten, and they were phenomenal. And the things they put up with, we can't even imagine.
Right, and especially with the game the way it is, you know, it's a different game now than it was then.
Yeah.
And so the records are going to be shattered.
Mm-hmm.
You know, remember, I mean, like Dan Marino, Dan Fouts, you know, like the passing numbers are going to be shattered going forward. And so, no, you're right on that, and it's sort of like the NBA, you know. It's when you look at, you know, the scoring numbers, the assist numbers, there are some great players. You know, 20,000 used to be the magic mark to get into the Hall of Fame in the NBA. I'm not sure if that's the case nowadays. But to your point, this is a way to hang on to yesteryear and keep Lenny Moore
just a little more recognition for guys that really, really could they deserve it. Did you watch the Jets and Raiders last night?
I just saw the ending. What did you think about that?
Well, I asked you because I know Chris and Alan had an interesting debate about whether it was a good game or not. That game, and obviously it was somewhat exciting at the end, but, man, that was a terrible game.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance
close,
to watch
it. It was awful.
It was awful. But you know what I came away from? And I know I only saw the end. I'd take a Zach Wilson on my team any day.
Really?
Yes, because he's a gamer. He's a competitor. What I saw from him, they were teeing off on him. He was scrambling for his life late in that game, but he was trying to still make plays. And so you surround him with some talent, a better offensive line. I'm not saying he's a Super Bowl caliber quarterback, but he's not their issue right now. And I know he didn't play extremely well last night, but he's a gamer. And so I think he's a solid player.
Don't read Peter King's column today.
Uh-oh.
Okay?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, you don't want to read it because Peter King's saying, they got to get rid of this guy.
No.
He's a nice guy.
They probably
do. He's not NFL caliber.
No, I don't know about that. But he probably, for his sake, needs to get out of New York.
Mm-hmm.
You know, say, hey, let's not act like Geno Smith was that great with the Jets when he was quarterback. Now, all of a sudden, look at him in Seattle, six game-winning drives in fourth quarter.
That's true.
And so I'm a believer. Sometimes you just need to get out of whatever mud or muck you're in, and right now he's in the muck of the New York Jets.
I think Pete Carroll said that Geno in the fourth quarter yesterday was perfect.
Yeah. See?
Seahawks won. All right, we take a quick timeout. When we come right back, Kyle says Brock's first touchdown pass was one of the worst decisions he's ever seen him make. More from the Drive Guys when we come back to the Golden One Center on Sactown Sports. Coming to you from the Golden One Center, the Kings taking on the Cleveland Cavaliers tonight. Cleveland looked pretty good on, that was Saturday when they knocked off the Warriors. Warriors have lost two in a row.
Two or three?
They've lost three. They lost two this week.
Yeah,
They've lost three in a row.
They're reeling right
six
now.
Six and five.
Nothing wrong with that. Hey, you're not, I'm not going to cry over here. You know, some Warriors fans out
Poor Draymond got thrown out of the game on Saturday. Man, it's just so unfair the way the way they treat Draymond.
Who are you, Allen Stiles here? Draymond sympathizer? That's like the worst guy to sympathize with in the league when it comes to stuff like that.
Extracurricular
stuff. Like
Draymond, he reminds me. You remember the Bad Boy Pistons?
Yes.
And one of the things they did, they committed so many fouls that the officials couldn't call them all. So they kind of moved the needle and kind of moved where normal was. And so it became a very physical game, and they benefited from that. Draymond does the same thing with his when he goes crazy.
Yeah.
He yells at the officials on everything, so he gets away with a lot more. And he knows they don't want to throw him out of games. So but then when they do, you know, and he pushes the limit, pushes the envelope, then something happens, he gets thrown out, and then it's like, oh, he's a victim. Unbelievable.
Did you hear the trash talk he did to Anthony Edwards? Like some of the stuff he says during games to opposing players?
I did not.
I'm surprised he doesn't get in more fights. And I'm glad Anthony Edwards took the high road to an extent, let his play do the talking. Because Draymond is you know what it is? It's like when you know you're losing a step, when you know you're getting beat, you resort to dirty tactics. And that's what's happening with Draymond. Like, they're reeling right now. You can see the frustration playing out on the floor with him.
Yeah, I love Steve Kerr. I really do. Yeah. He's phenomenal. But he knows what he's doing, and he knows he's learned over the years. He's very smart. He knows how to defend Draymond and how to back him up. So they had a play Saturday where Draymond shoves Donovan Mitchell under the basket.
Yeah.
There's no call. Then they come right back down the floor, and Mitchell goes over, and he tries to go for the ball, and he shoves Draymond.
Yep.
And right away, he's pointing like, hey, he just did that to me. So the officials review it. In the process of the review, they see that in the previous possession, which was what, 8 seconds ago maybe, they see what Draymond did. So they gave him, okay, that's a technical. Oh, that's your second one. You're out. Then after the game, they're talking to Steve Kerr about it, and he goes, I didn't know you could go back and look at something from a few plays previous. It wasn't a few plays.
It was just the same possession base.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. And so, and in the NBA, you can do that.
In fact,
the officials are told, wait till the play stops.
Right.
Then, you don't want to penalize the other team going back down. And so that's what happened. And as much as we enjoy Steve, we like Steve Kerr. We've said that. You're not going to get any sympathy. I mean, you know, welcome to what the rest of the NBA has to deal with. And the rules apply to Draymond just like they do everybody else. I could argue that Draymond has a longer leash with the official. Like, he should get way more technical fouls than he's actually received.
I don't know how you could argue against that point that you just made.
Right.
I don't know how anybody who's looking at it rationally could disagree with that. Because he does. There's other players, if they did a fraction of what Draymond did, they get teed up right away.
No, 100%. 100%.
Yeah.
So it was.
But Coach Kerr tried to make it sound like this is some bizarre rule that I think they might have just made up. It's like, no, it just happened. So that was interesting. But anyway, I think right now, I mean, obviously you take the Warriors' history over where the Kings have been, but right now I'd rather be the Kings than the Warriors. Right now, in this moment, right now.
At this second.
Yes.
What makes you say that?
Because the Warriors are in decline, and they're hanging on, and they're very expensive. And that's going to cause problems down the road. And the Kings are, we think, on the way up.
Oh, so you're talking big picture. Like,
yes.
Not like, okay. So let me ask you, would you have said the same thing last Tuesday, for instance, after two straight losses to Houston? Really, that should not have impacted your overall thinking about big picture and where these teams are headed.
Maybe not. If I'm being honest, I don't know what I would have said after that because that was dismal. That was absolutely dismal. I'm just being honest with you. You know, because they looked like, wow, they don't even want to play.
Right. We may have to break this up. Right?
Yeah.
Something like that. No, you're right, too. And you know, and I've made this point regarding the Warriors, Whitey. And I said it last season when I did some fill-in work. Steve Kerr and the Warriors Bob Myers when he was there. They will rue the day that they did not develop their young players. You have three lottery picks in Wiseman, Kuminga, and Moody, and they're at best rotation players. Wiseman obviously gone. And so not hitting on those guys when you could have had a Tyrese Halliburton, when you could have had a Franz Wagner, and then not developing those guys,
right.
That's why this Warriors run is over. Not just Steph and Klay getting old, but because they don't have – like, Steph Curry has to score 30-plus for this Warriors team to win right now.
I'll give them credit. They recognized that that day was coming, that bill was coming due.
Right, right.
But then they made the wrong decisions on what are we going to do about it. Wiseman, we need Wiseman.
Right.
He's got the most upside. Yeah, I think you're right. As far as Kuminga and Moody, they're both still there. But, yeah, they're not projecting to be, you know, major impact players going forward.
Yeah, and Kuminga, he's shown some flashes. But at best, he's a fourth option, you know. And
pretty erratic still.
Right.
Pretty spotty.
He's pretty spotty. And, you know, it's sort of like, you know, we talk about the Lakers all the time. LeBron has to be great. Like, Steph has to be great. And I don't know what's going on with Andrew Wiggins. Like, he is having a miserable season.
I think whatever it was that caused him to miss so many games last year,
yeah.
You know, you hear rumors, but we don't know. Whatever it is, I think it's still affecting him.
It's still affecting him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Either that or he's just kind of lost his will to do it.
Right, right. And I mean, he's not even playing in fourth quarters or anything down the stretch. And to me, Wiggins has to be their second best player. And he's not even their top five right now. I mean, the way he's playing. And so I know it's a long season, obviously. But that start that they had, when they look great, it has fallen off. And like I said, they were winning those games because Steph Curry was so amazing, Whitey.
Mm-hmm.
He was playing at such a high level. And to ask him to do that night in and night out, that might be too much to ask.
All right. As we mentioned, Kyle Shanahan had an interesting view on Brock Purdy's first touchdown pass yesterday. Who was doing the game? The analyst doing the game even said at the time, he's like, "That's you can't do that. You can't stop and throw back across the middle of the field." That was the touchdown pass to Ayuk that got the 49ers on the board initially. Here's what Kyle Shanahan had to say about that throw and that decision after the game.
Yeah, that was honestly one of – I can say this because he played his ass, played well, but that was like one of his worst decisions I think he's made since he's been here. And it took me a while to get over it, but I thanked him for the touchdown. But that was not a good decision, and he was fortunate with it.
Did you hear his explanation, Purdy's explanation?
He
said he was motioning to the right, and he said he wanted the defense to go to the right, and he wanted his receivers to continue. But both receivers, Ayuk and Kittle, they both saw a motion to his right. So they both went there.
Of course
so
they.
Everybody was over there.
What quarterback ever says, you know what, I'm going to motion so the defense can
move. Yeah, I know. So it was like 50 people there, and he's like, all right. And he lofts it in there. And
like
somehow,
he literally
some
lofted it.
Yes.
50 people.
Yeah.
It was like one of those. You ever played a game growing up? We used to play this game in Philly called throw up grab. You throw the ball in the air, and
right.
Everybody, you just try and reach
right.
And grab it. Every man for himself. That's how it was. It looked like a Hail Mary from, like, the 10-yard line.
Yeah.
Like, the way
– it was like after a wedding, the groom throwing the garter
right,
up, right?
Right.
And everybody's just like, ah! Yeah, and there's Ayuk, like, yep,
yep,
touchdown.
I'll take that.
Nice throw.
That should have been a sign of what was to come in that game for that to happen. It was a terrible decision. It was terrible. He could have ran and got it out of bounds,
uh-huh.
You know. But, oh, my, he got away with it, and it's good to be Brock Purdy, I guess, on that play. Because – when you look at it, and to Kyle Shanahan, what he said, you had to get through two or three defenders for Ayuk to even get it, and somehow the gods came, the stars and the moons and the suns and everything aligned, and they completed that pass.
Yeah.
Man.
I'm with you, though. If you motion, hey, go this way.
Go this way.
You think the receivers are going to know you? That's a
teach? Right.
I don't know. All right. Well, it all worked out, and they're back on track. When we come back here, De'Aaron Fox returns tonight, question mark.
Ooh.
See if we have some answers for that we'll share with you from the Golden 1 Center when we're right back. Drive Guys, Kyle Draper, Whitey Gleason, Sac Town Sports.